In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
I'm looking at the news and pictures of Ed Burke walking in that floppy hat and the coat that now seems too big for him. And he's got a sort of sad expression on his face. And you know what? What I wrote weeks ago still holds true today. Ed Burke knew how this would end. And you have the editorialists clenching their little tiny fists and screaming in rage and saying, "This shall not stand, and you shall be punished," and blah, 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 bark, 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 because, you know, there's nothing like a little doggy that barks. However, the Chicago Way never ends. What band, Jeff Carlin, did that piece? I think The Who or somebody, like, "Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends."
Yeah, because, the show, yeah.
Yeah, because this is the Chicago Way, and the show never ends. 38 to 40, what is it, 39, 40 aldermen gone away in the past few years, including a reformer who tried to get me to invest in a hot dog stand and we could all take vacations on the government dime.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Larry Bloom. Larry Bloom sat on the vaunted Chicago press room couch, which nobody ever slept on because he didn't.
Yeah. Your face. Sure.
And he started telling us if we got our money together and opened up a hot dog stand in Hawaii, we could then go visit our hot dog stand and write it off as our vacation because we were visiting our business. So we could get a condo.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know, yeah. And the only trouble is he ended up going to prison. So I couldn't really finish it, you know, finish what I wanted to start. But that's the Chicago Way. Even the reformers are thinking up the angles. And
well, I mean,
what we have now,
we talked about it last week with Dan. There are no quote unquote reformers. They're
right.
Everyone's in the game for their own or the system for their own take. So I don't know that we're going to get. But it's right, the Chicago Way. I mean, that's the essence of the Chicago Way, you know, get mine, you know, that kind of thing.
What is the Chicago Way about not paying your bills for your car?
Well, that's a Chicago Way.
I mean,
way.
You have to pay your property, your traffic tickets, don't you, Mayor Johnson? Don't you have to pay your bills for your water bills, Mayor Johnson and Stacey Davis Gates?
I believe, yeah. Well, that's the Chicago Way, too. That's even more the Chicago Way, John, because that's the, I got a problem, I need to get in power so I can fix it kind of thing, you know?
Right, right.
So exactly. That's super Chicago Way. And that's what they're doing. You know, they create these programs, these amnesty programs or whatever. I mean, oh, you don't have to worry about it. Don't worry. I mean, that's the funny thing in this city is that they only make those who pay if they don't know, if they're on the wrong side, right? I mean, there's a story out this week about how there were fines for rats, delinquent fines for businesses in the city, totaling in the millions of dollars over the course of like 15 years across a thousand
Say
different
again.
Properties.
Fines for what?
For rats, for like businesses, like restaurants and such. You know, if you get the health department comes out and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, you have to maintain closed containers. You have to maintain traps and baiting and stuff. So
right.
And if you don't, the city will fine you. Well, it turns out they don't collect a lot of those fines. They just put them out there. They say, "Hey, we're going to do this." And people wonder why Chicago is a very ratty city. But these people go for decades without paying their bills. And it's because they're connected.
Brilliant.
It's because they know somebody. I mean,
so they know somebody. They don't have to pay it. But it's always hanging out there for the legit little businessman who start, you know, the John Cass News, who's, I'm going to start my own hot dog stand and everything will be legit.
Right.
And I'll pay my hot dog people $20 an hour so that I'm on the side of the progressive left wing angels.
Right.
And they hold that out because that way they can crush you if they want.
Right. Meanwhile, the elected officials, they get notices of payment from the city and just throw them away. That's how it works. That's the Chicago way. I mean, Ed Burke is going to know. And of course, he's going to appeal, and this will probably take forever.
Do you think he ever spends a day in jail?
I mean, not prison like we know it. Probably some sort of health center that has a guard on duty. You know, because he's not in the best of health. He's not young. Yeah, I don't know. And that's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, John.
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. That's it, yeah.
Right.
But that's the sound of what I'm hearing.
Right. Exactly. Well, I thought you were going to go the Hillary Clinton campaign route with Don't Stop Believing, the Chicago Way Never Dies. But
you know what? But I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I remember when she was trying to fake a Southern black accent.
Right.
To her fake
Louisiana.
There's nothing like talking down to black people. If you're a Democrat and you get, you know, because you vote for me or you're not black. You ain't black.
I end up pandering at its absolute worst. Yeah. And speaking of pandering at absolute worst, John, I gotta take umbrage with the Colorado Supreme Court. I mean, this is, I'm sure everybody, by the time we put this up, everybody knows what we're talking about. But just in case the political wonks that be in Colorado are keeping Donald Trump off the primary ballot, which is amazing, too. It's a primary. It shouldn't even, you know, we're a group of people who think are like-minded to trying to put up a candidate. We should be able to do a primary however the hell we want. But that's not the point. They have blocked Trump essentially from being on the primary ballot and printed on the primary ballot in Colorado. And this law went all the way to their state Supreme Court. And somehow they said, yeah, sure. A guy who hasn't been convicted of anything, there's been no crime proven, which is the bedrock of the society that we live in. I don't know what society they live in.
Who needs a crime?
Right, exactly.
Wait, give me the man.
Meanwhile, in Chicago, we have a crime and you're not prosecuted either. So it's different. But that's the gist of it. They've blocked Trump from being on the primary in Colorado. Well, how does that make any sense? I mean, how does that – without a crime, right? I mean, come on. The Supreme Court of the state should be smarter. I mean, I haven't seen a legal eagle, as we like to call them on radio, who's said that this is going to survive the Supreme Court challenge. And rightfully so, because it seems like it's just completely bonkers. The only thing they're banking on is like the idea that, you know, states can hold elections however they want. That's kind of what the Constitution says. You know, states, it's up to the states. But this is just bananas, absolutely bananas.
It is sickening. But you know what? Didn't the great progressive himself, Beria, say, give me the man and I will give you the crime?
Right.
Didn't he say that?
Yes.
And I think Nick, my brother Nick, is famous now for saying, for the good of the people, in spite of the people.
Exactly.
And now we have this. And this is, we are not going to let the people decide who they want to lead them. We will decide for them because we know better.
Right.
This is the, you know.
I mean, it's the same thing that we were seeing in during Trump's tenure as president the first time within the FBI. I mean, there was this craziness that people were like, you know, Trump's a bad guy. Trump's not ethical, whatever their case was. And they're like, oh, you got to do something about this. You know, that's not right. That's terrible. That's fascism. I mean, that's just makes me so mad. It's so un-American.
There's a movie coming out 2024 by the writer of 28 Days Later, which is a good, great zombie movie and one of my favorites. This one's called The Civil War.
Oh yeah,
you heard about this?
Yeah, I have seen it. That sounds like it's a
well. There's nothing like science fiction, so called, right?
Right.
To deal with the problems of the future and terrify us with them. So, you know, you have like, you know, mass suicide was Soylent Green.
Right.
And now the Civil War, because I guess if Colorado and the good burgers of the progressive lands decide to choose who is going to be the Republican opposition, it's kind of like Iran.
Yeah.
You know, the Ayatollahs in Iran choose who they're going to have for their opponents. And they sit around the table and they eat lamb, you know, and they with pita, right. And they all agree on that. But I don't think it's wise for a republic to do that.
It's certainly dangerous. Not the way things are supposed to go. And I know, you know, to be fair too, as our friend Charles Lipson would say, you know, the Supreme Court's going to hopefully, if they do, which we're still waiting for that to happen, but you know, they knock this down and the system works as it should, you know. The fact that states can be, you know, turned and converted, I mean, it can contorted into something. I mean, our own state does that. You know, our state Supreme Court, it's pretty even keel, but it's still.
Is that the one with Ann Burke?
That's right, exactly. Ann Burke's wife, the right?
Chief Justice.
That's, so, yeah. That's, I mean, that just tells you enough right there that had certainly already happened. I mean, it just had, now it's come for the election, you know, which are always supposedly held to be sacrosanct, but it's, you know, that's clearly going the way of the credibility of the FBI at times. I mean, it's
what credibility?
Well, there you go. And the credibility of the Supreme Court. I mean, you people on the left can make the same case. So it doesn't matter whether what the reality is, it's the perception. And living in weird times, John, but you know, that's what we've got before us. But that's not necessarily for today as much as for the next week or the next year, because this year is just about done. And
well, yeah, I mean, I still have a column to write. Well, I may have a Christmas column to write. If people think that that I just cut and paste, but I don't. Every year I write about something different. I add and subtract. And this year I've got two people in mind. One is a young woman who is trying to have a baby and running into difficulty. And the other is a famous, I don't want to out him because he's in the hospital, the famous foot doctor, friend of mine, who's had open heart surgery. And we're praying for him, and we're praying for her too. And that's the way it is, because the world gets reduced, you know, around this time, Jeff, right? I mean, you think about, what are you thinking about? You thinking about all the great ambitions of your life? You want all the conquests you want to make? Or
are you thinking I don't have any conquests. I mean, I do have, but, you know, goals is what I call them, John.
Right.
Barbarian.
The conquest.
No, but yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the time of year when, again, and we, you know, the things that do separate us for the most part are fewer than the things that connect us. You know, the idea that we walk upright, we breathe air, we have feelings, that kind of thing. And that's the stuff we should focus on. I mean, that's the stuff that are important. That's the people in need, the people who can be comforted this time of year, who are suffering or in need. I mean, that's where the focus should be. We got, as you and I tape this, about a week to go in this year. And I hope we can put enough good in the ledger to balance out the nastiness that this year has wrought for many people.
I don't think there's enough good time left for me. I mean, I'm climbing up. It's a constant fight, Jeff, between trying to do good work, trying to do the good. Think of the good. Think of the sinners who are repenting.
Mm-hmm.
And the need to throw a mutzah now and then. You know, even now I'm put out the call to the mutzah nomination as I'm thinking of Christmas.
I know.
I used to not do a Mutza column at the end of December, early January, but now.
See, I propose this, John, for you, for your end of the year Christmas. Like, I propose your Mutza for December should be fictional. That way you don't have to worry about leaning against the spirit of the season. And then your January Mutza of the month should be a Mutza of 2023, where you do the vote leading up to that. And so you can call out, look back at the year and say, this is who it was. And you're clear of the holidays. You're clear to people, you know, twinkly lights and cheesy songs.
I would like that. I would like that very much. But then the problem is you don't know what's real and what's fiction. And you end up becoming like the president of Harvard.
Oh, wow. That's a different break with reality.
My God, is that not?
Yeah.
So, it's the constant struggle between the need to throw the mutza and the need to turn the other cheek, you know? But sometimes I guess you can do both, right? I mean, you can turn the other cheek to those who can't hurt anyone, and if they're upset, no, let them go and do what they have to do. And throw the mutza against the people who really deserve it. Like a server in the restaurant. What?
A server gets the mutza?
There was a server I heard about. Yeah, a server who was telling somebody about, you can't have the beef this way. It's too rare for you or something. And the guy's like, this is the way I want it.
Oh, yes. Right.
Anyway, go on.
My vote for, if you're going to, you got to do a Mutza of the month, and it's going to be someone based in reality, it's got to be the collective we of the Colorado Supreme Court. It's just,
well, I would go there. I would go there because, My heroes in public policy, Victor Davis Hanson and Jonathan Turley, have both given the Mutza of the month to the Colorado Supreme Court, and I would throw it against the Mutza to anyone who's defending this thing.
Yeah.
There are people on the progressive left, you can see them on CNN or MSNBC, who are screaming for it and loving it every step of the way, Joe and Mika or whatever your name is. And,
figure out electoral college math as these things. You're like, shut up.
Shut up, man. But they seize on it. Why? Because it's all about clicks.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, they would
subject our nation. You see that Civil War trailer? Yeah, it's a cheesy trailer and all that.
I didn't see it.
You've seen it, but you know what?
From A24 Studios.
Yeah. It's scary, though.
Yeah.
There's a scary issue there.
Yeah.
Because people don't, you know, it's like we have people driving around once again in their cars with their masks on.
Yeah.
You see them everywhere. They're wearing the mask, double masking. What happened to the feeling about we don't want to be bossed around by authoritarians? Right. What happened to that? We're just such sheep that we go along with it until finally something in the sheep brain breaks out and becomes murderous and angry?
No, not until the sheep runs away from the wolf and finds new friends. That's
Oh, you think that's how it is, like the cartoon?
The sheep doesn't rear up in revolt. The sheep needs a friend.
All I say is go look
at a bricklayer like the pigs.
Yeah. Because all pigs are equal, right? Except some pigs are more equal than others, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know, I have one bit of news. We're going to start at John Cass News. We're going to start sponsoring the Chicago Way, Jeff. I hope you can take it.
I can.
And we're also going to be running pictures of people with their No Chumbalone hats,
yes,
or their coffee, their John and Jeff coffee mugs for the Chicago Way. People are buying those too. And, you know, because Jeff and I want you to have coffee with us.
We want nothing more than for you to look at our faces every morning with your coffee.
Yeah, because it, you know, it's guaranteed. Even if you have curdled cream in your fridge, it's guaranteed to uncurdle the cream. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I don't know if we can back that claim up with anything, but yes, I do. It'll make that curdled cream just a little more palatable, I hope.
Yes, indeed. So, well, John, Jeff, have a great Christmas, man.
Yeah, you and yours, and to Betty and the kids and everybody. I hope you have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a blessed Epiphany, John, because you and I will be off until the second week of January. So probably be our last one until whatever, the 7th or 8th, because I'm out of town start of the year.
I'm so glad that the Chicago Way can take a break, but the news cannot take a break. The news does not take a break. The Iowa caucuses are coming. Maybe the Chicago Way might be taking off a brief hiatus, but not John Cass News. So for Jeff Carlin and the lovely Christine, for John Cass and the lovely Betty and the boys, for everyone in your family, in Jeff Carlin's family and my family, we wish you all a healthy and happy New Year and a very Merry Christmas with love. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
See you, buddy.